Following those classic gospel favorites that rely heavily on fiddle music, we're back here on Way Back Sundays with Johnny. We're still coming to you, as we always do, via CFRC 101.9 FM and also via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios located in Cornwall, Ontario. And yes, as mentioned, heard and played over CFRC 101.9 FM from the heart of downtown Kingston, Ontario, the Limestone City of Canada. With that, I would like to welcome you all to 9 o'clock hour here this morning. And as we begin the 9 o'clock hour, let's remember and get on a double feature on this program this morning of a man who we in Canada have long classed and considered the Fiddle King of Canada. Of course, that would be old-time fiddler Don Messer from down in the Maritime provinces there. With that, I would like to share that from 39 to 58, millions listened over the radio as this man broadcast from Charlottetown, PEI on CBC Radio, his program every week. And then following that, from 1956 to 69, he is also, as mentioned, on CBC, but on television form. With that, I'd like to remember this legendary fiddle player and king of the fiddlers in Canada, none other than Don Messer, with a couple of tribute songs here to him this morning. First, we'll hear Stompin' Tom Connors and the Don Messer story. Then we'll follow with Mac Beattie out of the Ottawa Valley, Mr. Ottawa Valley himself, and a classic called We'll Remember Don Messer's Jubilee. With that, I'd like to thank everybody for listening in here to CFRC 101.9 FM and the Way Back Sundays with Johnny.
He was born in old New Brunswick in the early part of May 1909. 6 years old, he played the fiddle at the barn dance on the old York County line. Every year, Don got better. He dreamed about that fortune down the track. Then he came down to St. John City, where he formed the old New Brunswick Lumberjacks. Don Messer played rings around the mountains. He played reels all across the plain. He played all that kind of music that has made the country proud to say his name. Soon his band would have a singer. Charlie Chamberlain would join the Messer fleet and travel to Prince Edward Island to play on radio for 12 bucks every week. On the air, right after supper, commencing in the year of 39, the man would say, "It's old Don Messer and the islanders from down the Maritimes." Don Messer played rings around the mountains. He played reels all across the plain. He played all that kind of music that has made the country proud to say his name. Coast to coast with Don and Charlie, Duke Nielsen and Ray Simmons played it up. Warren McRae with Cease McCachern. Now the islanders went touring to the top. How Charlie sang with Margaret Osborne, and Waldo made the old piano twang. For the Queen they played in concert, and it was magic how Don Messer's fiddle rang. Don Messer played rings around the mountains. He played reels all across the plain. He played all that kind of music that has made the country proud to say his name. 17 years on television, from 1956 to 73, Don Messer made his mark forever, the fiddling king of country music history. Throughout the world, it's undisputed, Don Messer and the islanders were tops. And away down east, beside the ocean, the kind of music they began will never stop. Don Messer played rings around the mountains. He played reels all across the plain. He played all that kind of music that has made the country proud to say his name. proud to say his name.
Dancing shoes on, got my Sunday best, heading to the bar dance tonight. Now Dozy, Do and Balance swing them off their feet, dancing to the Islanders tonight. Don Messer played his violin, and up stepped Charlie Chamberlain, together with Mark Osborne vocally. Well, the Buck the Dancers, Dozy, Do, then up spoke John Tremaine, from Halifax, Don Messer's Jubilee. Scotia, country music land, Don Messer played his old-time violin. He rose to fame and made his name a legend in our land, along with singer Charlie Chamberlain. Now Don and Charlie both have gone, their memories will still live on, like words and music of an old refrain. And someday in that promised land we'll meet them once again and go dancing to the Islanders again. And we'll remember Don Messer's Jubilee and all the joy that they brought to you and me. When we hear the Oshalevi or a fiddle melody, then we'll remember Don Messer's Jubilee.
Well, friends, as mentioned, we have three very special interviews from the archives of Wayback Country Jamboree and Woodlock Ranch. And this morning's program, with that mentioned, the second of three special guests is, as I like to call her, the true First Lady of Fiddle in the Ottawa Valley, having been married to legendary Ward Allen for a number of years. And Ward Allen, of course, was the man who brought us such classics as Back Up and Push and the all-time immortal classic Maple Sugar. Yes, this will be an interview from way back in 2021 with none other than Mrs. Ward Allen, also known as Miss Ann Allen, who has long been a part of her late husband Ward's musical legacy. At the time of Ward's untimely death in 1965, at the age of 41, he left behind her and their two sons. Anyways, I would like to remember this interview from 2021. Following this, we'll hear another all-time favorite, and that all-time immortal classic of the fiddle music of Canada, that is, of course, our all-time favorite when it comes to the fiddle, Maple Sugar, as done by her late husband, Ward Allen. So with that, here now is my dear friend and a true link to the bygone days of country music in the Ottawa Valley, Mrs. Ward Allen, also known as Miss Ann Allen.
Well, thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be talking to you, Miss Allen. So born in Kirkton, Ontario, near London in 1924, what would you say Ward's early life was like?
Well, first of all, he wasn't born near Kirkton.
No, okay.
No, he was born on his grandparents' farm, which they were living in Blanchard Township, which is near a little village called Woodham. There have been a lot of stories, and I think this is where it gets confusing. He was born on May 11th, 1922.
Yes.
On his grandparents' farm, and he was the youngest of five brothers. And they all could play. One of them, Case, who was the second oldest, played piano just beautifully. And his mother could play the mouth organ. His father stepped in. So they were a family that were very musical. He had aunts and uncles that were all music. So, and their entertainment, I can remember going up to the farm when I first met Ward and thinking, isn't this marvelous? I mean, they are their own entertainment.
That's a lot of the way it was back then.
Yeah. Yes, that's the way it was. Yeah. And you had all your neighbors in, and everybody brought something to eat. The entertainment started. Everybody could do something except me.
Oh, I see.
I was the only one that couldn't dance. I couldn't sing. I couldn't play anything. And I was just in awe.
Yes. Would you share with us how you met Ward Allen?
I met him at a dance in Miss Falls at the arena. Mm-hmm. He was playing with, I think they were with Wilf Carter. And I knew his manager, who was Ken Reynolds, who started the Happy Wanderers.
Yes, Ken,
and,
yes.
He brought myself and his girlfriend, Eleanor, at the time, who was a close friend of mine. So he brought us up Miss Falls and introduced me to Ward. And that was in December, I think, 1955.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, and that's how we met, was at that dance. And by January, we were engaged, and we were married the following August.
Oh, so it was fast-paced.
It was fast, yes. It was.
Now, how is it that Ward and yourself found yourselves in the Ottawa Valley?
Well, my parents, I was born in Montreal, and my parents moved to Ottawa. I think I was 7. And, of course, back in those days, you always stayed with your parents until you got married. And so I, of course, followed them to Ottawa. Ward was on tour with Wilf Carter, and Ken talked him into coming to Ottawa to join the Happy Wanderers. And that's how he ended up in Ottawa.
And then when you got married, you were already in Ottawa. So, as they say, the rest is history.
That's right.
I see. Now, Ward began touring, as you say, with Wilf Carter. Do you have any fond memories of Wilf?
Yes, I do. I didn't get to know him that well because the only time we saw he and his wife, I think her name was Bobby, was when they were, of course, on tour. They were always very busy, and Bobby, I think, drove the car that Wilf was in. And so, really, I only met him when they were touring.
So it was no personal friendship then.
There was with Ward. I think he was very fond of Wilf's two daughters. And he was very enamored with them. They were lovely little girls.
Yes, I understand they were just a tot at the time.
They were very young. I think Carol was the youngest. And she would only be maybe 5, 6, 7. Still a little bit older.
Now, Ward began recording in 1953 for Spartan Records. Do you have any recollections of this?
No, because I didn't know him in 53, and I think he recorded before that. He started out in the 40s at CKNX Barnden, and after the war, actually. This produced several other artists. One of them was Tommy Hunter. So they all played together out of CKNX Wingham. And Ward started to record through Alvina, and it wasn't until he won the championship in Shelburne in 53 that he got the contract with Spartan. So that's where that relationship started. But I didn't know him then. I didn't know him till late 55.
You would have been around when he composed Maple Sugar. How did that one get composed?
Well, that was just a little bit before me, so I don't know exactly, but I know that it was released, I think it's the B-side to a record, and on the A-side was Back Up and Push. Back in those days, they denoted them as A-side and B-side. And the A-side was the one that was expected to be more popular. It ended up being Maple Sugar, which was more popular. And I remember that was just after we were married in 56 that it started to become very popular.
Okay, and it's his signature song nowadays.
Oh, of course, yes. Fiddlers, you know, don't know how to play it.
That's right, yes.
It's probably one of, it's a very simple tune, but catchy.
And it is Canada's signature song, just like Orange Blossom is for the U.S.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I understand in 1958, Ward covered over 35,000 miles. What was it like to be married to a man who toured so much?
I think that was one of the reasons when I went back to work, because it was lonesome. You had children, but you were at home by yourself all the time. And even when he was home, they were on the road, you know, playing dances around the valley. They never got home till 1 or 2 in the morning. And then they were up, they went to bed. And of course, then they were up and went to the radio show, then they were gone again at supper time. So it was lonesome.
May I ask you something? How does anybody keep a marriage like that surviving?
I think you just did back then.
Yeah, back then it was the way it was.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you just did. I mean, that was one of the things we did. And I know that I was close to both Joe Brown's wife, Flora, at the time, and Marie King, and they were great company. I didn't drive at the time. They both did. And so we spent a fair amount of time together.
Okay. So it was, you always had your support group then.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. And my parents. My parents were terrific support.
Yes. Now, I understand also in 58 that Ward joined the legendary Ottawa Valley Happy Wanderers.
Yes.
Yes, and it was through Ken Reynolds. But what is your recollections of his first joining them?
Well, he first joined them in 55.
Oh, 55,
okay. It was the end of 55. Okay. And my recollections are, they were busy. Yes. Very busy. Realize how popular they were. And this day, I'm astounded how people remember him throughout the valley. But I don't know. I just they were busy all the time, you know, and you just felt that was the way it was. I don't know. You didn't equate it with fame or anything like that or the way they played. They were just very popular.
And do you have any of your personal favorite stories that you can tell of Ward?
You know, time has dimmed. Over 55 years, it'll soon be 56. Just how good-natured he was, how he loved children. He was a very quiet person, and I think sometimes his music allowed him to be someone he really wasn't. In other words, he was very quiet.
And reserved.
Reserved, but very good with children.
And then another one of Ward's classics, I think it was his, was Mr. and Mrs. Maple.
That's right.
Have any recollections how that one came about?
I just remember him, and my sister was living with us at the time. He was constantly in the basement walking back and forth and playing these tunes. So it was, I think the one I remember the most is Hunter's March.
Hunter's March.
Constantly marching back and forth and playing it, and that's how he came up with the name.
And that's a classic. Now, if I may pull on the heartstrings, I know it's been 56 years, and maybe it's not as fresh in your mind, but how did he pass away?
He died of a massive heart attack. Actually, I woke up in the morning and found him in the bathroom. My sister was living with us at the time, and Jimmy, my nephew. So I called for both of them. Anyway, it was my sister that apparently she put her hand on him and said, no, I think he's gone. And I can remember Jimmy and I sitting on the Chesterfield, shivering, you know, all day, and the police being there. Yeah. You couldn't believe it. And, you know, as I guess it would be, I don't know, karma, my mother and dad had been down the night before for dinner, and Ward was feeling well.
Okay.
They took the children back because he was to go up home, give his niece away at her wedding. Mother took the two boys up to her place, so there were no children.
Okay.
Which was good.
It wouldn't have been good for them to see that,
No.
Now, in coming years, how would you like to see the Ward Allen and the Allen name remembered?
You know, I've been so affected by all the fiddle contests and so on that I've been to over the last number of years, and how many people in the valley remember Ward, remember his music, just remember him as a good old-time fiddler who wrote some excellent tunes, and probably his signature Maple Sugar. Thank you very much, Johnny.
Yes, God bless you. Stay
right.
Safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah.
guest friends, once again, we are back here on the Wayback Sundays with Johnny, formerly known as Wayback Country Jamboree, and as we welcome our very special guest of honor, Simbush the Wonder Husky, our beloved co-hostess and mascot of this program, to the program once again this morning. I would like to share that she has her collection of some of the greatest fiddle tunes to ever grace Canada by some of the kings, yes, of the fiddle music of Canada. First, we'll hear from an all-time legend, Reg Hill, also known as Reggie Hill, and a classic called The Madawaska River Breakdown. Then we'll follow with Al Cherney and his version of one of my all-time favorites, of course, titled Golden Slipper. We'll then remember the Valley legend, Graham Townsend, and his Ottawa Valley Reel. And we'll wrap up with Simbush's top favorite, with none other than Johnny Mooring and his fiddle version of Joys of Quebec. With that, I would like to say thank you, Simbush, for your contribution to today's program. Now here is some real good old-time fiddling. Here's Reg Hill and the Madawaska River Breakdown. And now, Golden Slippers by Al Cherney. Once again, it's Graham Townsend and his Ottawa Valley Reel. ¶¶ And finally, The Joys of Quebec by Johnny Marr. Friends, once again, I would like to pay tribute to a third and final archived interview this morning on the Way Back Sundays with Johnny. Now, this next guest I met in 2017. He soon became like a second uncle to me. And with that mentioned, I would like to pay tribute to none other than Uncle Ray Chapisky out of the Ottawa Valley. This man hails from Barry's Bay, Ontario, originally, but lives in Eganville now on Mud Lake Road. With that, I would like to pay tribute to him and his fiddle music. Now, we heard Uncle Ray in the first part of this show as our second song opening the show today. But anyway, I got to interview him and visit with him a little bit back in spring of 2022 over the phone, as he lives in Eganville, and that's quite a way from Cornwall. With that shared, this interview will be the final one of our archived interviews today, with two more interviews coming up in the third hour. But for right now, this is the last archived interview. And following this, we will hear an all-time favorite by Uncle Ray Chapisky, who says he found this song, fiddle tune, from an old book of the Happy Wanderers out of Ottawa, and is titled Walt for Ward Allen. With that, here now is my very good friend and my second uncle in radio, none other than Uncle Ray Chapisky.
Well, thank you very much for that wonderful introduction, my radio nephew, Johnny Woodlock. It's good to finally be here and be talking rather than listening to all the wonderful interviews you've been doing over the past years.
Let's go back to where you were born, Barry's Bay, Ontario, in 1945. What are your earliest musical memories growing up there?
Well, when I think back, for some strange reason, my dad had listened to the radio a fair bit, not a lot. He put on the news, but he was able to find music at times, and there were very few stations we could get, but there was a radio station called the CBC Dominion Network, and they carried music regularly, an hour, I believe. And there was also the Don Messer radio show. So we used to listen to Don Messer every Monday night, I think. And whatever day of the week it was, I'd listen to that CBC Dominion Network. And they had various musical groups from across the country. And one of them was Mac Beattie and his Ottawa Valley Melody.
Of course, yeah. Ottawa Valley.
Yeah, and then there was some other station. There was a CKWS out of Kingston that had a couple hours on a Saturday night of country music when I was still going to school. And there was CHEX out of Peterborough. Staying with Sean Aird, a DJ there for many years. And all of them played a lot of Canadian country music, which was my real interest. So those are the memories that I have of getting the beat into my heart and my soul, I guess.
Okay.
Neither of my parents did play music.
Okay, they didn't. Okay. How did you come to pick up the fiddle then?
Well, I guess it was quite a good family time, always watching Don Messer and my dad. I guess they must have said or felt something that he got the vibes, but I think in about the Christmas of 1956, Santa Claus brought me a fiddle. So I would have been, 11 years old?
About that, yes.
And my younger brother, who lives in Kingston right now, by the way, he got a guitar. That was the start of being really interested in the instrument itself, and Dad was able to arrange for music lessons at the convent where the teachers in our school went. It was a separate school, and all of our teachers were nuns. And there was a music lady. She did the choir in the church, and she also taught music in the convent.
Yeah.
And Dad spoke with her, and she was able to say, yes, she'd give me some violin lessons. She didn't play it, but she could show me where the fingers went and play along on the piano and tutor me that way. She'd arrange for concerts, Christmas concerts in the church hall and different things.
Yeah.
So I got to play with the other people that were taking music lessons too. So playing with people and groups became almost addictive.
And I understand your first concert with a country music legend was Ward Allen.
Correct. I think that would have been, early winter, January, February of 1958. So I was pretty young, 13 or so. To just lead into it, there was a group playing out on CFRA radio out of Ottawa back in the days, the CFRA Happy Wanderers. And they played 40 minutes live radio every day. And then at nights, they were traveling somewhere in the valley for a show and dance.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were coming to the Lakeside Pavilion in Barrie's Bay, I convinced my mother to take me there. That's when it happened. And I tell you, I stood I was always in a front row thing. We stood around, they played a show for an hour, and then they played 3 hours of dance music.
At what age did you meet Mr. Ottawa Valley himself, Mr. Mac Beattie? I know we touched on this a bit.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty well around the same time, a little bit later, I think. But Mac Beattie was one of the people that used to be on the CBC Dominion Network. And they, like I say, they featured maybe a BC band one week and a Manitoba band, and the Ottawa Valley Melodeers was one night. I'm not sure which, late 50s, very early 60s, when Don Messer was still on the air, he was going off, like they'd take off about 4 months in the summer. So I wrote a letter to the Ottawa Journal, which Dad subscribed to by mail. They had a little column there called the TV Mailbag. And in the letter, I suggested that to replace Don Messer in the summer, they could maybe consider Mac Beattie and his Ottawa Valley Melodeers. Fair and dandy. So in about a couple of weeks, I got a nice personal letter from Mac Beattie thanking me for that plug. And he said, it's through people like you that we can get into TV, because he said, and I quote him, he said, it's a pretty hard nut to crack. Following that, somewhere within months or more, Mac Beattie and the Ottawa Valley Melodeers came to that same pavilion near Barrie's Bay. And I guess I talked my mother again to driving me, because I wouldn't have been driving. When the opportunity arrived at a break, I went up there to shake the hand of Mac and meet the gang. And Mac says, what's your name? And I told him. And I just mentioned it once, and he said, you're the guy that wrote that letter to the Ottawa Journal quite a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
And he thanked me again and gave me a nice warm handshake and whatever. And he said, I really appreciated that, he said.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is, quite a long time after, I went to another show with Mac and the Melodeers, and he recognized me to see me and remembered my name.
So with all the people that they see, it's amazing when they remember you.
Yeah, he had a photographic memory, and I think it was several times during his career that I had been at the same show.
Okay.
And one of them was, golly, that would have been in the 80s then. I was living out in BC, And I came back for a conference in Ottawa, a fairly big conference held at the conference center. And they always have one big event because it's from across Canada. Mm-hmm. And the band they had hired for that big event in the Coliseum or wherever it was Mac Meaty. Yeah. And somebody in my, by then everybody knew I played fiddle, and somebody went up that was with the conference, and he said, oh, we got one of our guys that plays, you want to get him up for a couple of tunes? And they told me that. I went up to the room, we were staying in the same hotel.
Yes.
And I got called up. When I got up there, Mac remembered me again.
Amazing,
and
yes.
It must have been probably 10 years later.
Wow.
And we had a couple of tunes, so I got to play with the Mac, with the Ottawa Valley Melodeers.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't even go up for my fiddle. Reggie Hill, his fiddle player, lent me his for a couple of tunes. So that was pretty exciting.
You brought out an album called Fiddling Around. What is your favorite track off of this album?
Oh, my goodness. The album came about by the fact that quite often I'd be playing and people would say, do you have some music with your tape or something? So I decided it was a good idea then, since I had some pretty good musicians around me, to put a CD together or a group. And going to my favorite one, it was hard to narrow it down to that many, but what I did do is I took a tune from most of my favorite fiddlers. I've got tunes by Don Messer, Graham Townsend, Ward Allen on here. Yeah, I got pretty well everybody.
What is so special and different about the history of Ottawa Valley?
I think part of it goes back to that word I mentioned two or three times here already, is heritage. Inherit people from a number of cultures in Europe. There's the Irish and the Kashubian and the Polish and the German that stand out, and the Scottish. And each one came with their own flavor of music. When they got here, they basically shared that music amongst each other, and it started to blend. And then radio came out and records and stuff, and the North American music set in. So the Ottawa Valley people, I think, it gave it a little different flavor and a bounce, when they put all those cultures together with, say, a song out of Nashville.
More local,
and music,
too.
Yeah, and local, and also there are so many musicians in the Valley.
Exactly.
And so many good musicians.
So let's say, who is your favorite legendary performer out of the Ottawa Valley?
Well, if we put aside Ward Allen, out of singers, I would have to say Bob King.
Yes.
He wrote so many great songs.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is Bob King's album, Sing a Country Song, it's got a picture of the Parliament Buildings on the front, was my first vinyl LP.
And you were saying that it was back in 1958 you got.
Be about that. At that time, Joe Brown, who was the one of the Happy Wanderers,
yes,
he also
Papa
had
Joe.
A night job on CFRA hosting a country music radio show. And people would write in, and each week he'd pick out one letter, and he'd give them an album. It turns out he picked my letter one week, and he sent me this album, which was the Bob King album. So I ended up getting it from Joe Brown, and it was my first vinyl LP.
Well, in closing today, what fiddle song can I play for you? And I bet I know the one.
There's so many, but I think we touched on Ward Allen so much.
Exactly.
If you have that one called Waltz for Ward Allen.
Sure will. Yes, I
and,
sure will.
And just as a background to that one, I don't think anyone other, I don't know of anyone who has recorded that one other than myself. I got it in a music book from Ottawa.
Okay.
And it's written by one of the Happy Wanderers, who was the lead guitar guy, Mr. Ken Davidson.
Okay.
And it was in a big collection from a guy in Ottawa that put together books of music.
Yes.
And like I say, if I ever heard someone else play it, I've never heard someone else play it other than myself. Okay, thank you, and we'll talk to you later. Okie dokie.
Yes. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Johnny.
this old mine. Don't let Smoky Mountain smoking in your eyes. Will there be any bluegrass in heaven?
Howdy, friends and listeners. Johnny Woodlock here, and I'd like to tell y'all about the Gallup Canal Bluegrass Festival 2025, located in Iroquois, Ontario, and happening from June 11th to the 14th, with some of the best musicians in bluegrass music, including but not limited to Virginia's Nothing Fancy, as well as New England's Rock Hearts, and also featuring some of Canada's top musicians, including Nova Scotia's Ray Legere and the Bluegrass Diamond. Tickets cost $120 in advance till June 1st, with day passes available at the gate. Learn more by visiting gallupcanalbluegrass.ca or calling Barb at 613-543-3114. See you there, friends.
Any bluegrass in heaven. Don't let Smoky Mountain smoking in your eye. Oh, Lord, have mercy on this weary soul of mine.
Yes, once again, friends, we're back here on the Way Back Sundays with Johnny Show, and it's, of course, once again that time to welcome our very littlest member of our team to our program this morning, none other than Gunny the Dachshund. As we welcome Lil Gunny to our program here, it is my honor and her honor to celebrate, along with you, our listeners, the great sounds of fiddle music. So Gunny's got some real kings of the fiddle music archives here for y'all today. First of all, we're going to hear from the legendary Islander, none other than Don Messer, and his all-time version of Red Wing. We'll then follow with Ned Landry and another all-time classic that is much like Red Wing in that it sounds like it, but it's going to be called Snow Deer. We'll follow with the Earl Minton and the Carleton County Breakdown. I'll wrap up this set of Gunny's top favorites this morning of fiddle music with King Ganem and Black Mountain Rag. With that, I would like to thank Lil Gunny for her contribution to today's program. We'll be back following this, send us all into the third and final hour. Good morning, friends. And now, Don Messer's Red Wing. Following that, Ned Landry, Snow Deer. We'll now hear from Carleton County Breakdown by Earl Minton. And finally, King Ganem and Black Mountain Rag. Thank you. Well, now, friends, I'd like to wrap up this set and play us into the third and final hour this morning with another gospel-inspired song. However, I don't have very many songs related to fiddle music on that topic that are gospel, except for the one that I'm saving for the very last end of the show, that, of course, the Master's Hand. But right now, I'd like to pay tribute to a song that legendary outlaw singer Johnny Paycheck recorded many years ago, titled Sad Violin. It is, well, an inspirational song in some ways. So with that, here is our legendary outlaw hero, Johnny Paycheck, and the old violin. We'll be back following this on the other side of the hour. Good morning, friends, and welcome in.
I can't recall one time in my life I felt as lonely as I do tonight. I feel like I could lay down and get up no more. It's the damnedest feeling, I never felt it before. Tonight I feel like an old violin, soon to be put away and never played again. Don't ask me why I feel like this, hell, I can't say. I only wish this feeling just go away. I guess it's 'cause the truth is the hardest thing I ever faced. 'Cause you can't change the truth in the slightest way. I try. I said, John, where do you go from here? And then, like a fool, I turned around, I looked in the mirror.